Blog Talk Radio.
Good Friday evening. We are trying to enjoy the weekend. We hope everybody else out there is ready to enjoy their weekend. So we're going to have a laid-back kind of show. We have a special guest today, a co-host. I put out there, he's our friend, homeboy, main man. We go back a lot of years here. It's a lot of years sitting around the mic today. It's a lot of years. When you add it all up, don't worry about it. That's all I'm saying. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest co-host today, my friend, my homeboy, man I call him by my brother, Ryan Seaboard, sports journalist. He has a BA in journalism that he achieved at FAMU University, Go Rapids. He currently works at Everest University, but he also previously worked at Braden Herald as a sports journalist. And he works at the Ledger still, if I'm not mistaken, doing sports journalism. So with that, give a warm welcome to our friend, our homeboy, Ryan T. Boyd. But hey, I'm going to let you know this. I'm sorry, Father, let you go, dude. I got to let him know this. We ain't going to call him Ryan. No. We're going to call him Dubeck. So this is Dubeck.
Hey, welcome. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to, you know, sit on the show with y'all today and, you know, chill out and do what we do, you know. That's pretty much it. I'm honored to be here. I can sit in and, you know, we can all just give our dialogue and just relax and do what we've been doing for about 20 years now. So we're just bringing it to them, and with me included. So I appreciate it.
For sure. Anytime. That's what we do anyway. So might as well go ahead and do it, you know. With that, we're moving into, like we always do on our show, the ending note. Hold on, bro. Oh, my bad. Oh, I'm so glad that you caught my head. So glad y'all got me, because I sure was getting ahead of myself.
We get company, you won't show up.
I did. So that is what it is. And I'm sorry I almost made y'all miss that. I really apologize for that. So now, with that being said, I can move on to the end of note, as we always do. Today's end of note. We're going to do a little something. I love the end of note, but we figured this topic was something that we didn't want to split up, so we're going to use a little time for it. With that, I'm going to pass it off to Bone, because it was something he presented me with. For the end of notes. So, Bo, you can go ahead and explain it to me.
What I did, the end of a show, and y'all, our listeners don't realize it, but we don't stop talking. We continue to talk even after the air. So we were just talking, and I brought up the subject of, I should say, the idea of ancient aliens. And aliens visiting planet Earth, influencing, the world history. I just put it out there. I'm a free thinker. I'm an open thinker. I'm not. I listen to just about any kind of idea. So I just threw that out there. Asked some boys what they thought about it, and we just figured we'd bring it up and talk about it.
Yeah. And moving forward with that, because our special co-host, he's laughing. He thinks it's funny. But we knew that. We knew that prior to bringing the topic up, and we figured you would bring a good contribution to it. So with that, I'm going to put my little two cents in. When we was talking about it, I seen it from a standpoint, why not? How can we close our minds to the fact that somewhere else, there's life.
Yeah.
True. How can we close our minds there?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but it's what I do. It's what we all do.
Go ahead.
You gotta be like this is go back to the dude who breaking the house and leaving and logging to Facebook you gotta be a special kind of crazy to believe in an alien. You know what I'm saying? Like aliens?
Hold on.
You know what I mean? Like, what would make you think that there would be another life form out there in space existing and we don't know about it? You got to be special kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But you also have to be a special kind of crazy to believe that God does anything without a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why would all those planets be out there if there was no reason? Why?
We just privileged, don't argue.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
I got a question.
What's your question?
If by chance there are aliens out there, 2014, right?
2014.
This Earth has been around a long time.
Uh-huh.
Why haven't any aliens made their way to planet Earth? I know the galaxy is...
Wait, though, but how can you say that there hasn't? You have reports of people who say they've seen aliens. They've seen UFOs. They've seen
it all. Hold on.
What's up?
Hold on. They've seen it, right?
They've
seen a UFO in the sky.
Right.
They've seen all that.
Right.
But they never got out the UFO. And nothing never walked around. Here, we've seen before. There's no document. I've read witness on television, saw on television, that there are aliens.
Okay.
There could be. I'm not saying there are not aliens out there. But there is no documentation. I need to see an ET.
Check this out.
I need to take a picture of an ET.
Let me go this way with you real quick. You personally.
Get it.
What else do you mean by get it? What does that mean?
No.
You're going to have to fall in. This is
what we do now.
get it.
Okay.
He's sick him.
I'm saying.
Okay.
We're going to have a good time.
So you believe, I know you believe in God. And you know that God don't do nothing for no reason.
No, no. Everything
so
is a purpose.
Nah, if there was no reason for Pluto and Saturn and all them other planets, why are they there?
I don't know. They're there, but what's on them?
We don't know.
That's my point.
What we do know is we ain't there.
That's my point.
Now,
I mean,
to answer your question.
To the moon.
To answer your question.
Which is back.
But listen to this, because I think he's going
to answer your question. You say, why come they ain't never nothing got out and we ain't never been there, all this, all that. They, if there is intelligent life form on another planet,
yes,
they can ask the same question about us. But we know that we visited other planets, correct?
Yeah, true.
We can't, we don't live on those other planets.
We just there for a minute.
But you've been there. And you know that. So why can't you open your mind to the fact that there may be another life form that knows that they visited Earth?
It could be. I just like I said, I did not denounce the fact that there are aliens, but give me some evidence, not just something just circling in the sky that they take a picture of on the ground and say that's a spaceship or that's a whatever you call an alien
UFO.
But you're not closed minded. You're not closed to the possibility.
No,
anything
is possible.
I know it was my topic, but I want to speak on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
That's the reason I stopped watching True Blood. Because it got out of hand. Yeah, it got out of hand. When they start talking about spirit jumping from people.
You ain't going with that.
And all this other stuff, I don't deal with that way.
Yeah.
I dropped it.
I'm a fan. I like True Blood.
Me too, first three seasons.
Yeah.
First season.
Anyway, different show.
I tried to watch it once, but I think my issue came in what you're saying.
I know it did.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. But anyway, it would be, I would say, it is arrogant.
Ooh.
Arrogant of the human species to feel like they are the only
life form
there is
in the universe,
in our universe, in neighboring universe, whatever.
The audacity
of man
to feel
think.
Like they can occupy all of the universe, however
and
they want.
And be the only thing that
we send satellites out, and you know, like you said, you send space shuttles out in space, and you're trying to see if you can go to this planet and that planet. Why? Like, how would you feel if there is some other life form on another planet, you would feel kind of disrespected or invaded if they were to come into your territory.
Yeah.
So what gives us the audacity to feel like it's okay to put our technology and whatever else out in the universe and feel like there will be no repercussions for that?
So with that being said, do you think it's a bigger picture here? Do you think
absolutely
it has been discovered and the government is just keeping it from us?
I won't go that far, but I would
like you said, we send space shuttles, we send cameras, we send satellites big as a neighborhood into space. So they had to capture something. You think they're just keeping it from us?
Listen, I truly feel this planet is, we all know, very old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a very old planet. Okay. We weren't here the whole time.
No.
Okay. So how can we, just because nothing has come here for us to say we've seen, who are we to think that they haven't been here before? Who are we to think that? Some of those gods and things like that ancient civilizations that we hear about have prayed to, or they claim they've seen this thing out of the air and all of that.
Pray to them.
They don't. I mean, we don't.
They
come on, but I'm just saying, this is just our world's history.
True.
Who's to say some of those things they were praying to were aliens? We don't know.
We don't know. How do we know that the worlds that are mentioned in the Bible ain't the other quote-unquote planet? How do we know that ain't what the Bible's talking about? We don't know. But at the end of the day, because we don't know, it's unfair to assume that it's an outrageous thought to believe in quote unquote alien. What is an alien?
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to find out.
An alien is simply, if we were to go to another planet, we would be an alien. Because we are not from that world.
And I think at the end of the day, too, if you go back, even the Outcast, I think they did it brilliantly with AT aliens. Because basically, they brought it back to a common base, and they was basically saying, I'm not something you used to.
Right.
That don't mean I'm not way from where, I don't come from where you come from.
I'm different.
Let me go this route right here. If aliens didn't exist, where did the word come from? Why would you feel the need to have a word to explain something that don't exist? That don't make sense. I would have never heard of an alien if that thought was just so outrageous to somebody. Somebody knows something.
Yeah.
For you to have to describe what you saw.
You had to put a word on it.
Is an alien E.T.? Or is an alien a movie that just came out? Is that an alien? That's portrayed as an alien.
Yeah.
But what does an alien look like?
One thing about it, an alien ain't a human being. What we call a human being that live on Earth, that's not an alien. So if it ain't from Earth.
There's some aliens here.
Listen, I'm
going
to be honest. I'm going to be honest. You can plan, but I'm going to be honest. You're making a good point. I'm going to be honest. When I say alien, you don't have to be from outer space for me.
Yeah, alien?
Yeah, if you're different or you go against maybe the norm, you can be considered an alien.
Well, why everybody an alien?
I'm an alien. I ain't mad either.
Okay, then.
No, I'm not going to take that.
I am.
I'm saying, though, you the same as everybody else?
No, I'm a human. I'm not an alien.
I'm saying, in the sense that we take it, that if we are seeing an alien as being different or something you're not used to or something that is not foreign to the norm, then, yes, I'm an alien. Now, if we talking about E.T., no, I ain't got no one finger that's real long. I ain't got no big old head. No, I'm not that.
You don't ride on a bicycle, handle a bicycle?
No, not for home. Not for home. But on the real, real, I feel like I'm an alien.
Okay, let's go back to the basics. Can we say that we totally shut off the fact that there could be other life forms living in planets
outside
of Earth?
I think it's unanimous. That's a no. We all agree that there are some type of other life forms out there.
Yeah.
But is it classified as an alien? I don't know what it'd be classified as. But the word alien just bring a lot of trepidation to a lot of people. You know, that's a scary word. Just the vision, just the thought in your head coming about alien.
Well, see, because we take it and we use it for other things.
Yeah.
We call human beings from another country as, you know, illegal aliens. And the definition of the word
is negative.
The definition of the word is being from another planet.
But the connotation of
it's
the word
negative.
Right, is negative.
Like the N-word, it's negative.
No, ain't no, that's negative all the way around.
It's negative. What you thought I just said.
I don't know. Let's clarify.
It's negative.
Well, I mean, alien don't compare to
it don't.
The N-word.
It don't. I mean, but at the end, it does to you.
It do to you?
Alien?
Yeah.
Alien and the N-word.
If you think about what the meaning of it is, we will consider different. We will consider aliens. We don't consider a person. We consider three-fifths of a person.
But I like the concept, though. I like what you. I do. I like where you're going with that. Cause, I mean, because we weren't from this land.
We were from a different land.
So we're aliens to this land.
We was considered animals.
So, three-fifths of a person.
Yeah.
Unhuman.
Is that a human? Or is that three-fifths of a human? We're a whole person.
But you three-fifths of a person. Of a being, basically. It's
exactly.
How they
matter.
Three-fifths of a being.
You know, but I understand what you're saying. The content of the N-word from the derogatory background of it does make it more unwarranted than,
you know,
like ourselves.
Oh, it's personal to us.
Yeah, personal.
An alien ain't personal to us, but the N-word is personal to us. That's what our ancestors were looked at alien. So it's a stronger
connected. Yeah, alien ain't so much connected
because that's foreign.
Yeah.
If we sit here debating if an alien exists, but we know we do, and our forefathers did.
Yeah, but we ain't saying we the N-word either.
No. But
what I'm telling you is, that's what we were called. So that's what we were known as.
I get that totally. I get that. But just like you said, you may call a human being an alien. That don't make it an alien because you call him that.
Yeah, that's true.
That just means that's what you called him.
Yeah, alien to me. It's titles,
kid.
It's titles. Some people may say I'm not a human because they don't agree with what the definition of human is. Like I said, I feel like I'm an alien at times. I feel like I'm an alien all the time, really, to be honest with you.
No, I think you're different. I don't think that's alien is. It's a lot of things you do line up with everything everybody else do.
Yeah.
You just do some things.
But I think that's more because I've been
you had
in other, that culture.
I've had different experiences.
Right.
But
right.
You can meet somebody in this world that you can really, really relate to that had experiences just like you.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
haven't had those experiences.
Yeah.
But you can meet somebody that you relate to and been through the same thing you've been through.
Even still, I'm inclined to believe y'all still gonna think differently. Y'all still gonna act differently.
Yeah.
Even though y'all been through the same thing.
Cause you relate to something.
And you got different outlooks on it, but you got some type of correlation.
I got you.
We might have the same thing with aliens.
Thank you. That's where I was gonna go. If you found that life form on another
planet,
I'm not gonna wait on you.
Why not?
He ain't gonna wait on you.
I'm not gonna wait on you to tell me his experience.
I'm not running from it.
Why? Yeah, why? It's all made by the same thing.
Well, you think that? Ooh.
What?
If you believe there's one God, it all comes from
him. Well, I tell you one thing. He can tell me from a distance.
You ain't entertaining.
Now, you realize now, and I'm going to put it out there.
Go ahead with it.
Now, you realize now, you are thinking like how other races think about us.
Yeah, that's why we got the end time.
And you know what? That's fine.
Okay?
That is fine.
Okay.
In this situation, that is fine. Okay?
That is.
In this context, if you say, I'm going to sit there and be brave and say, oh, I want to have a conversation with an alien, that's fine. I'm not doing it. However you want to take it that way.
There you go.
Okay, so then what is your problem with the N-word? You should have total understanding then.
Well, we on the radio?
You should have total understanding.
So we can all say and say we ain't never used that word before?
No, I'm not going to say I ain't never used that word. I use it right now sometimes. I slip and use it.
And you use it in a positive connotation or you use it in a negative connotation?
Yes, I do.
You use it both ways?
Yes, I do.
Because it's part of... Sorry to say it. I ain't sorry to say it.
It's part of...
What it is.
But at the end of the day, I'm making a conscious effort not to.
Say it?
Yes, I am.
Did you say it?
Did you not hear what I just said to you?
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. It's embedded. But that don't mean that I got to accept it and continue to accept it. So I make a conscious effort not to.
Not to use it.
It's a sticky situation because what happens with the N-word is we feel as if we have ownership of it. So that means we can use it how we want it, but you got to use it in a certain manner.
Everybody else can't use it.
Right. And that's where the ownership becomes because you've taken a derogatory term that has been used to shape us in some way, and now we want to turn it around and use it the way we want to.
Yeah, it's kind of like somebody who's overweight. And I can talk about this because I'm one of them, okay?
I'm so, trying to tell you, hold on.
It's somebody who's overweight. Like, you've been called fat for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing positive about being called fat. You just fat. But at some point, you accept it and you turn around and you might even take on the nickname Fat Boy.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing.
Damn.
Damn. Why would you endear something that's derogatory?
You want to make it a positive.
Why?
At the end of the day, if you're going to call me fat, okay, I'll be fat. But at the end of the day, if you see that I take it as something of a compliment to me is something that makes me different, you ain't gonna say that. You ain't gonna use that in a negative way towards me because I'm embracing it. Oh, yeah, I'm fat. They call me fat boy. But now if you use it in a way that you know is gonna hurt me, and I bow down and I'm like, oh, he called me fat. Now it's a problem. Now they winning. But if you call me fat boy, and I say, you know what, you're right. That's what they call me, fat boy. Now what?
takes the sting out of
it. Totally gone.
So then why do we try to, and I'm, excuse me.
No, you good.
Why do we try to shun the word negative? Why are we, why have we gotten to a place, listen to me now, going with what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Going with the same logic behind what you just said. Why then would you get rid of negative? We should, hey, okay, you going to call me that anyway.
Because that's from a political standpoint.
That it's just as personal as fact.
It's personal, but you gotta understand when a nation embraced the fact that it's wrong, now you got people from everywhere promoting something that they want to go away. It's numbers. And it makes a difference. When it affects more than just black people, when it affects white people, it affects Asians. It affects Hispanic. When all these other races take on the, how should I say it? I can't find the word right now. But when they take a hold of that movement to eliminate that word, now it has power. Fat boy ain't got no power. But when you got all these other races trying to eliminate this one word and stand behind this one word and killing it, it means something.
You know who gives the word nigga power?
The person who uses it or the person who receives it.
Niggas give the word nigga power. I can call you a nigga all day. If you don't believe you a nigga, my word don't mean nothing. The moment you embrace and you accept nigga, now it's power.
But you got to understand something. People came before us who that word really, really affects.
Yeah, but when you know better.
To us, it's just a word used. It's just a normal word.
Amongst your peers.
But to the people that came before us.
If you walk down the street right now and a stranger calls you that same name that you don't know, somebody you don't know calls you that same name, you take it the same way your ancestors.
Put your hands up.
So then it ain't lost nothing other than once we started realizing who we were, it started losing power.
Yeah.
Once you give him that back, give him that power back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a word.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel you when you say it's ours, it's a part of us. But think about it, though. Excuse me. It's beginning to cross race.
Yeah.
White people call each other nigga. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Asian people call each other the N-word. Now it's gotten to the point that if they have been allowed to get comfortable using it, they'll even call you.
If you let them.
A white man.
Say it one more time.
Listen.
If you let them.
Listen. Okay.
Don't do that. Though.
All right. But let's say, let me put you in a situation. You walking into a corner store. Let's call a urban dressed white man entering the store or exiting the store at the same time says, "What's up, my nigga?" He didn't mean it in any harmful way.
It was a term of endearment.
To him.
He don't know me. He ain't endeared to me. He don't know me.
Well, why don't you take that same approach? I'm going to tell him,
hey, sir, please, don't call me that.
Why you don't take that same approach? Or, I shouldn't say why. Do you take that same approach from an African-American male that you don't know who say, "What's up, my nigga?" N-word, whatever.
You asking me a question you know the answer to?
I am. Because what you just said don't make no sense.
No, but I'm saying from another race.
Okay, so then it's
a white person.
It's not about him not
knowing. Don't call me that. Don't call me that.
It's not about him not knowing you then. It's the fact that he's a different race.
You
and that's what it is.
You're exactly right.
It's what you allow.
To happen.
What you allow to happen. You're right.
I think that's core point, though.
Yeah.
And when you come back to it, I think that's what he's saying. It's what you allow the word to be is what it all ultimately the power it holds.
Can you name me any other word that the nation has gotten behind and wanted to kill?
Yes. I can name about five of them. They none, all of them are not politically correct, but I can give them to you.
Give them to me.
One of them is retarded. You can't say that no more.
Right. Yeah.
You can't say retarded no more. Right. It was a polite way of saying it back then. I mean, that's all we knew. He was retarded. We didn't see it as a wrong thing. But
so
now, they're mentally challenged.
Oh, special needs.
Special needs. There's a lot of different words you say. You don't say retarded anymore.
True. You say special need?
Do I say it? In the right, and listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm
just trying to be politically correct.
I'm going to be honest with you, even with the N-word, in the right, because if, listen, we want to, I wouldn't be saying N-word. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Right. I don't know why we saying it.
I don't know why I'm saying it now.
The only reason I'm saying it is because if we say we trying to get away from saying it ourselves, we should promote it. So I'm not going to say it. I'm going to continue to say the N-word.
My thing is, why get away from it if you don't know why you get away from it? If you will accept it from your own race, accept it from anybody. What's the difference of a person of a different race calling you fat than a black person calling you fat? You fat either way.
I get what you're saying, but maybe I should clean up what I'm saying a little bit. What I'm saying is, if I'm trying to get away from it, I don't want you calling me that because I ain't saying it.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying.
That go for anybody.
Yeah, that go for anybody.
Okay. Where are we going to be now? Because this word is, I'm sorry, as much as we try to kill it, this word is not going anywhere.
It's
not going anywhere.
It's in the
nation's
vocabulary.
So what are we going to do when this word becomes part of us?
It is.
When
it made a song
everybody,
about it. No,
black, white, Hispanic, Asian, when we get to that point when everybody is using this word as a term of endearment, what are we going to do?
Listen, man.
We did.
I disagree with you that it's not going anywhere. It can go somewhere.
How? For the black?
When you stop me from calling you that.
Don't you call me that no more.
It ain't going nowhere.
That's what I'm trying to say. When you stop us from calling you nigga, then the word will disappear. When you don't let me say it, then you won't let nobody else say it.
The power that I feel you when you say that, the only, what gives your word power to me is that the black man is the most imitated man on the face of the earth.
That's exactly why I'm saying what I'm saying.
If the black man decides that he will no longer use the word.
But what? Which black man imitates the most?
The negative one.
That's why I asked you that question.
Argue with that.
The negative
one. I'm asking that question for a reason.
Because the positive black man ain't going to be no nigga for nobody.
For no one. But.
My point.
So when you, like I said, stop me.
So at the end of the day, if we won't. The image of us to change, we got to change as a whole.
Exactly.
Individually. It starts as individual.
You got
to
change.
To change the whole.
Everybody's saying the same thing.
That was my point.
Yeah.
What black man is imitating?
Yeah.
That's a negative one.
It's
a thing.
It's a cruelty.
Yeah.
Chain zone. Something that none of us represent.
Do you know, this is a good point. You know that the black male probably owns more stereotype names than any other race? And that shows the power in the black male because you don't know what to call us, so you give us a derogatory term every chance you get.
Fear.
You know what? Thank you. You know, I will accept a lot that has been given to us. I will accept it. Some things I ain't going to accept as given. Some things we do to each other. Ain't no giving from an outside source. We do this.
Well, I understand that. Our actions does promote the name being titled to us, but we ain't in control of the media and all that.
Anybody can be it.
Yeah.
Can be it.
It's an ignorant person.
Anybody.
An ignorant person. That's what a nigga is. It's an ignorant person. Anybody can be a nigga. I'm talking.
No, you all right. Because
I mean, it is what it is. It's a
word
that we...
At the end of the day, you got to associate black with what it is. It's considered...
No,
it's considered negative from that point of view.
Right. You know better than that. So you don't have to associate black with that.
No, but you got to look at it.
No, he's saying
you got to look at it from a broad.
The color black itself
is
negative.
Yeah.
And then
the color white is pure.
Right.
And I'm going back to the same point. Why is the word black negative?
Because that's the definition of it.
Yeah.
And we accepted it. We accepted that. We continue to accept.
We accepted that in a time when we accepted a lot of things.
That we couldn't change.
So now when do you change it? How does it change? When do we get to the point, being that we're having this conversation, how do you get to the point that you change it? It has to start somewhere.
With you.
It is.
That's it. Everything starts right where you at. In you, with you, about you. That's it. That's what it all comes back to.
Now, if I decide, okay, I get that. I'm going to go along with this conversation and I'm going to make a change. The next time you come to me and you say you used it in a word, I say that I'm coming. You, 9 times out of 10, gonna say what?
Yeah.
I'm being honest. Thank you. Thank you. That's honest.
Y'all know what I'm gonna say.
So then,
no, I tell you that, nigga, please. Yeah, that's
exactly what you're gonna say.
So then, it's more than an individual thing, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to get to.
Oh man,
it's more than an individual.
But you initiate, and I'm gonna tell you how. This is how you initiate it. The reason that Bones said the N-word again, you said it again, then you said, well, I don't understand why we keep saying the N-word. Everybody's here conscious of it because I continue to say the N-word. Mm-hmm. So that holds you accountable. Even if Doopy do say that the first time you do it, the next time, if you continue to do that, he's going to watch saying it, right? Yeah. You, period. So you're changing him.
I know you're serious about it.
Yeah. And ultimately, he's going to pick it up in everything he do. That's the initiation of what you're saying about if it starts with one person, it can ultimately spread to everyone.
Mm-hmm. I dig it. Is it that serious? Next question. Is it that serious?
What, the name? The word?
The whole conversation we're having right now.
Yeah,
the conversation
is obviously that serious because we having this deep and heated of a conversation about it.
Okay.
Is that serious?
Okay. Great. I just wanted to know. That's all.
Yeah.
Is it that serious?
Yeah. One thing about Brett is precious, and I don't feel like wasting.
Hmm. Ain't a man.
I feel you on that.
It's serious. But we gotta take a hold of it and affect somebody else. That's the way it's gonna change. We can work with us, we can change us, but the key is stepping outside of us. And
well,
help somebody else.
Going back to your point. When I am the same person regardless of who I'm around, I affect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. This is me, and I'm going to be me regardless of where I'm at, what setting, who I'm at. I am me. So if you can't respect the fact that I'm me, then we probably don't need to be communicating with each other.
You won't want for long.
Right.
You won't for long.
You won't. Because they either won't be around you, or you won't be around them because you don't connect.
Yeah.
Something's going to keep you away from them because there's no connection. That's like working with a boss. If you don't connect with that boss, you don't want to talk to them for work purposes. You're not going to get to know them on a common level. You're not gonna know their children's name. You ain't gonna know what they like, what artists they like, musical artists they like. You ain't gonna know none of that.
That's tough.
Cause you don't. All you want to do is communicate with them on a work level.
Why else would I need to communicate with my boss? What other level do I need to communicate with you on?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
when you work
some settings are different.
Yeah.
Some settings are different. Some settings have that close-knit family type feel, and you get...
I work in one. I'm just asking the question so we have a conversation.
Oh, okay.
I got
you.
He's
playing his part.
To your point, even if you have that, and you're in that, it can be lost.
Yeah.
You can lose that.
Yeah, you can.
And
you can
distance yourself, and next thing you know, you only talking to them about
because they're showing you something you don't like.
Hey.
Something you don't agree with, and either y'all work it out through communication. Well, you decide, you know what, I'm done.
I'm of the opinion that a manager / boss, whatever, should not have any personal ties with his employees. That's the opinion I'm in. I don't think you should, because it's bad for business.
I don't think you should go out with them.
I don't think you should go out
to a club or to dinner and all that with your family, but I believe there's a portion of a great boss that get to know the employees on a personal level. So they know the why. What wake you up every day to come to work? Why? What motivates you?
That makes
because
a good manager.
That makes a great manager because at the end of the day, that what motivates you, they can pull out of you.
Listen, I don't need to know why you're motivated. I just need to know that you're motivated. And if you're not motivated, then you don't need to be. I don't need to know what motivates you. I don't need to know that. I'm your boss. I'm not your counselor. I'm not your... Are you motivated? And what tells me that is the type of work you put, your production. That's what tells me that. I don't need to know what. Because if you are not doing what I need you to do here, please believe there's somebody that will.
But listen, though, a non-motivated person can still do what you need them to do.
I'm paying you. I'm not paying you I'm not paying you and trying to motivate you to be paid. I'm not doing it.
You have to. You're a manager. You have to. You have to motivate
you. If you really want to see the epitome of what it takes to be a good manager, look at Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson, so Dennis Rodman, a guy who, when he went to the Spurs, would come off the court and take off his shoes and sit down. And when the coach needed him to go in the game at Spurs, he had to wait for him to put on his shoes before he could go back in the game. Phil Jackson took Dennis Rodman, brought him to Chicago, figured out what motivates him, the why behind, well, the reason he come in this gym and worked so hard, and look what he got out of him. He got a guy that nobody wanted to deal with and made him a Hall of Famer. He was a Hall of Famer because he won championships at Detroit.
He wasn't that guy that nobody wanted to deal with in
Detroit? No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay.
He was not that guy. When he got to the Spurs, he was dead on the inside. But when
Dennis
he got
Rodman
to Chicago,
was not that guy that nobody wanted to deal with.
Can I interject just real quick? We probably need to end the end of the note. We know when the three topics went out. Ending the end of the note.
But I was cool with it.
That's what I have to say.
Man, it's Friday.
It's a wrap. That's all cool with.
We done?
Now, back to your point. Dennis Rodman.
Nobody wanted to deal with him when he got to the Spurs.
No, wait. So you saying Dennis Rodman was not a problem in Detroit?
Dennis Rodman became a real problem when he got to the Spurs. But my point is this: Phil Jackson brought something out. As a great manager, you have to be a player's coach. That's my point.
Okay.
You gotta be a player's coach. Because what motivates you to do well does not motivate me to do well. It does not motivate Bone to do well. It does not motivate Dad to do well. So a great manager got to know you on a personal level to help you get to that next level.
You know what? Why I disagree with you? Now, I'm not disagreeing that that is necessary in an individual. That an individual needs someone to find that in them. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm disagreeing that I don't think that's your boss. See, you go through those phases in childhood, going through school. You go through all that. As a grown person, nobody got to motivate you to get up when it's time to get up and go to work. If somebody got to figure out what make you get up to go to work when you're supposed to, you got a problem. Somebody should have did this for you years ago. Ain't no boss supposed to be doing this, man. I'm in business.
You're describing a boss. And then there's a good boss or a great boss
or a supervisor or a manager.
Right, or manager or supervisor. The great or the good managers, supervisors find that.
They'll go above and beyond to bring the best out of you.
Listen, a boss can probably get 100% out of you. In order to get that 105 or that 110, it's going to take a great or a good boss.
So you're looking at this from, I feel like we're looking at this from an employee's perspective of a boss, right? Let's look at this from the employer's perspective of a boss or manager.
I can look at it for too.
Yeah,
what I hire a manager for, as put yourself as a CEO, I hire a manager to, ultimately, I'm about revenue. I'm about bottom line numbers. If you bring in me what I need, as a CEO, he's not going to go to a manager and see what motivates that manager to do his job. No, I'm looking at papers. I'm looking at numbers. And if numbers ain't done, then my manager ain't doing his job.
But then now you are talking about the difference between a company and a Fortune 500 or a Fortune 200 company. The Fortune 500 company wants their managers to motivate their people that work under them. I work for a company that promotes, trains, and pushes for me to motivate my people. And by doing so, I need to find out what makes them
go.
Work.
Bone does not manage all his people the same.
I can't.
He can't.
I cannot do that.
He can't.
And reach the peak of the productivity that the company I work for wants.
Nope.
I cannot do it.
You
if I manage them all the same, I'm going to have some that are going to bust their butt,
well,
and then I'm going to have some that ain't going to do nothing.
You got some people in a company on the job, in an organization, that they need to be recognized for a small thing. Then you got to say, good job, attaboy, keep up the good work. And some people, they going to come in there, they going to bust their behind, and you ain't never got to tell them attaboy.
You got to say a word.
Yeah, it's been nothing.
I can.
But you got others that you got to do that with, because they ain't going to give you 100%. They'll give you 75%.
So what that should tell you as a manager is, if I got somebody that I'm not having to motivate, that's giving me 100, but I got somebody over here that I got to steadily pat them on the back to get 100, they ain't in the wrong position. I ain't got to motivate him.
So you think you're going to get 12 people in there the same like him?
I do not have to motivate him.
No.
Why
if
do I have to motivate him?
If you need 12 employees, are you going to get 12? Employee that you ain't got to motivate at all, that you ain't got to tell them good job.
I will if I don't settle for motivate.
No,
I will.
It's almost impossible.
But then you talking about bottom line. You talking about bottom line. Okay.
Yeah.
You talking about money and bottom line. It saves the company more money to motivate this employee that needs motivation than it does to go through the whole hiring process of continuing through the hiring process of finding
plus,
a bunch of dads that's already motivated.
Plus, you got to do all this paperwork, this extra paperwork for this person you done hired. You done fired because now you got to pay them out of the
money. I get all
that. See, when you talk about bottom line,
you lose the money and you're going to keep firing
but
them.
But I
instead
agree
of everybody differently.
Let me prove my point, and I'm going to the title of the show for this. The general manager of the Miami Heat had paid attention to LeBron James' personality traits, how he did in Cleveland, how he left Cleveland, that whole thing. What makes you think he won't do the same thing to you? Yes, he's a great talent. He's the most talented person in the NBA right now. But what does it tell me 3 years from now I won't be in this same position? What will logically make me believe that? Nothing. Why? Because he showed me that. Whereas I got other people on my team who's been here and who's been loyal, and they ain't worried about it. So
what that got to do with motivating employees?
That got to do with picking the right person. Going through doing your due diligence before you just pick somebody off the street.
Do you realize when you hire somebody, you don't know nothing about them, but what's
that's your fault. That's your fault.
Because when you hire somebody, all you see what's on that resume and what they tell you, and then you call the three references.
What job have you ever got?
And their references going to tell you what you want to hear.
Are they?
Yes. That's why they on that piece of paper. Because if I put
what?
Dad on a piece of paper,
I'm talking about business references. What job have you ever had that you didn't have to list business references? Places you've worked before.
And what they calling to the people?
I'm calling to see what type of employee was he. What did you have to motivate him? Was he somebody who came into work and showed you that? Now, this is the question that I'm asking if I'm hiring somebody. Did you have to motivate him, or did he come into work and show
you
that he wanted to
be there?
You
realize some jobs can't tell you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can't tell
you. You realize that some jobs can't tell you.
They can't talk about
it. I understand
that. They can't talk about nobody.
They can tell the truth.
Now, not if that truth is derogatory or put you down in any kind of way. They can't do that.
So then what's the purpose of calling? So that you. So what you
think?
What's the
formality?
It's a formality.
You got to do it.
From what y'all are telling me, I can quit every job I ever had and been the worst employee on the job and just came in and cussed them out and been all kinds of derogatory.
So what?
But they can't report that when somebody calls because that's derogatory. That's what you
I can tell them. I can tell them you ain't come to work.
Yep.
I can tell them you was late.
That's enough.
Well, then, but I can't go into their character.
I don't need that.
I can't go into their character, but that's what
you're
asking.
I'm going to put it out here right now. Corey, you one of the people I always known that can get a job.
Yeah.
You get a job, you lose a job, you get a job, you lose a job. You always got a job.
I lose it.
I'm saying. But you can always get a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit around like, man, how you
But you want me to say?
You
want me to say?
So who your business references that you were putting down that you burned behind?
The job I left. You know why? Because when I was there, I was there. When I was there, you ain't got to motivate me. I'm coming to work. So when they do call you, the worst you could tell them is that he just quit. But
I
at the end of the day, when he was here, he worked.
I witnessed for myself. I'm going to tell you what somebody told me. I witnessed for myself people come in and interview well. You call their references, references line up. You get them on the job, you got a totally different person. I'm not telling you what somebody told me. I'm telling you what I saw.
Yeah.
From my own two eyes. So it's an imperfect science.
It is, and I agree with
you. But at the end, I still go back to my point. A great boss know how to motivate his employee individually.
I'm not disagreeing with that point.
You have to.
I'm not disagreeing with the great boss can do that.
I'm just asking you,
why is it necessary? Why is it necessary for somebody to motivate you as a grown man to do what you applied to do? Nobody should have to motivate you for that.
I feel you on your point.
That should motivate him. But at the end of the day, it's in any profession. You got people that know how to get a job, but they don't know how to keep a job. And because that person hasn't tapped into the why behind they get up every day.
I get that. I get both.
Why do you get up every day? What motivates you to do this?
Is it
your cheat?
I get both of y'all points, though. I do. I really do. I'm going to tell you why. Because I was privileged enough to be in one of the biggest structures where you see this a lot, and that's in the military. Because what happens is, it's forbidden. It's a regulation that the higher up or the chain of command cannot fraternization.
Yeah.
It's looked down upon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are above me, you can't hang with me.
Yeah.
Now,
it's a reason for that.
It's a reason.
But notice what I said.
I finished explaining it though. Now, even with that, I can say this. I had some leaders that didn't fraternize, didn't do it at all, didn't believe in it, was straight about the business, and I worked for them. I worked for them, but I didn't respect them.
Because they didn't know you.
They didn't know me, and I didn't know them. So how can I respect somebody I don't know? Now, the ones that were more managers and pushed me and cared about me, I'm gonna work for them. Without a doubt. And that's a different dynamic. You can run it both ways. You can definitely run it both ways. It can happen. But what happens with the alternative of being a manager, it becomes more homey. You feel connected.
You feel a purpose.
But like
you feel like you don't want to let this person down. You don't want to let this company down because they hear your voice. They hear your complaint.
Right.
They know who you are. They listen to your idea. That's a great boss. That's a great organizational worker.
Right.
Not somebody where you come here, you line up, you do your job, you go home. They don't care about your complaint. They don't care about you, your creativity. They don't care about your innovation skills. They don't care about none of that. All they want you to do is come here and go home. Do you really want to work with somebody like that? No. So you would take the first train smoke.
But, and that's a good point, too. But even with that, though, I will say this. If you're supposed to be working, you're supposed to work for whoever it is.
Yeah.
Now, it is an advantage, and it's a benefit, and it's a beautiful thing when you have a boss that cares about you.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if your boss is supposed to go to work,
you're supposed to be amazed, you're supposed to stand up and do what you got to do. But at the end of the day, if I enroll 20 students, am I going to get that same paycheck?
No.
Or if I enroll 5 students,
we don't
am I going to get that same paycheck? Probably so. But because I want to be great, because I like who I work for, and this guy has motivated me, and he's my mentor. I want to do well for him.
No.
It's from a personal standpoint. And my coworker, he needs attaboys. He needs, you know, you're good. You know, I appreciate what you do. You know, you the best. He needs that. I don't need that.
Okay.
I built a relationship with this man, so when he come to me and he tell me stuff, we talk about his children. We talk about my life, aspirations that
no,
I have.
No, man. Talk about. It's a personal thing.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
All our personal things.
Because for me, I want to go to work and go to work. what happened with you yesterday and what happened with me yesterday ain't got nothing to do with what we got to do here. It has absolutely zero to have what to do with what we got to do here.
I did.
Now, it can play into, but that's for me to handle, not you. That ain't for you to have to figure out, oh, well, he having a bad day.
It's
because of that and that and that, so I understand why. But no, I got a job to do.
We
got to
look at it from both sides, too.
I have a job to do.
You got
to
look at it from both sides.
Look, I see it from both sides, and I work for people from both sides. And personally, and what I've learned is the fact that working for a manager that cares about you, that know who you are, works better for the long haul.
For you.
For the short term, you can get the best out of somebody. But over the long haul, you're not going to get the efficiency and the effort and the peak that you need out of them over the long haul if you don't get to know them. From an organizational standpoint, your team is not going to reach its peak. One person may reach their peak, two people may reach their peak, but the other eight or nine may not reach their peak.
Answer this question for me. Are you more likely to come in to your job and maybe tend a little bit slack off with a boss that you know is strictly by numbers and performance and this, that, and the third, and he ain't concerned with persons, or a boss that I know personally, he understand my situation, and he did that and the third? Which one are you more likely to slack off with?
If you're going to slack off, you're going to slack off with God.
Not necessarily, though.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Fear don't motivate you for the long haul.
Okay.
Fear only motivates
so
you short term.
If you're going to go with that point right
there. That's my point to you. Fear only motivates you short term.
If you are going to go with his point that if you're going to slack off, you're going to slack off regardless. Except my point that if an employee is going to work and come here and work, I ain't got to motivate them. They're going to do that regardless.
Not
same
all
point.
I'm telling you what I
okay, so everybody's not cut out. You saying I'm not all
of them. Or to be what?
To be anything. Everybody
they
is
not.
Anything.
They not, though. You, they
that's
not.
What it comes to. That's what it comes down to.
That was my whole
I feel like we need to talk right now. We need to turn this conversation towards our youth real quick. Because in my position, I see a lot of our youth today coming into the workplace thinking that they don't have to perform. Me showing up to work, I came here. I might have been late. I probably wasn't productive. I may not have did a whole lot.
But
I was here. I still want my check at the end of the week.
No.
What you're saying is you need to weed out those people. I understand what you're saying. You need to weed out those people. But if I am a corporation and I am in this business to make money,
yeah.
I'm going to try to do the easiest way to continue to make money. It costs me more to get rid of this person. That may not be all that motivated. I may not want them. I may not like them as a person. I may really think they're hurting my operation.
And they are.
But I can't just fire them for that. I have to fire them for specific reasons.
Yep.
But if they're not doing what it takes for me to fire them, then I need to work with them and try to get the most out of them. I may not ever get 100% out of them. I may not ever get it. But if I can get 85 instead of 75, I'm going to take that. They check going to hurt because I ain't going to keep them an entire shift. But
you're going to get money. You're going to get
I'm going to get what I can get out of them.
Put yourself as the CEO. Never mind being the employee. Never mind being the manager. Put yourself as CEO. You hire people under you to do a job. Your only concern is what?
They do their job.
My concern is. I'm not worried about why you do it, how you do it. I'm not motivating you to do it. I just want you to do it.
One day I'm going to be a CEO. And what I want out of my managers, my executives, my boss, my supervisors, my managers, I want people who can motivate others. I want people who not only can teach them how to do their job, but I want coaches. I want people to know how to manage others and pull the best out of them.
Okay, well then when I become that CEO, same CEO, I want people who know how to look at a person's character. I want people who know how to...
How you going
to
know their character if you don't know them? You want
look
robot.
Look at their
past. You want
person,
robot.
You say all, we say all the time, a person shows you who they are. You can't front for too long before the real you come out. Eventually, I'm going to find the truth about you.
But you're going to hide.
No, in my search, Do be diligent in your search when you hiring and when you interviewing.
Man,
I ain't gonna call this
man,
one
you,
person.
You talk about being diligent in the search, but boy, you got operations that need to go down and you need
Midas
here to do it. You can't go through resumes before you hire one or two people.
But the company, well,
I want to put my company against your company and see who be more successful.
Listen, you have companies that take that same stance that you're taking. You got companies that are taking that same stance that you're taking, but they're going at an indirect angle. Let's use Amazon, for instance. They have a...
They have a
policy where after so many years, they will offer you money to quit.
Mm-hmm.
They will offer you money to quit.
A service package.
If you don't, if you're not here to work and you don't see yourself really having a future here,
moving up.
Take these, I think it's like $3,000-$5,000.
Yeah.
And go on about your way.
It's $1,000 every first 2 years, and I think on that 50 is $5,000.
If you're not willing, if you're not buying into what we're doing,
no.
And you're not here,
I
and
you
I don't need
the
motivation, here, go.
Now, do you think that method compared to me spending time and money, because my time is money, into coaching someone that I already see who's not motivated? I ain't gotta offer you money to find
when
out.
When you coach somebody,
can
you
I finish saying what I'm saying?
Sorry.
Appreciate it. When I ain't gotta offer you money to see that you're not motivated, I already see you ain't motivated. Which one is gonna serve me better? Which one is gonna be more? What's the word I'm looking for?
Efficient.
That too. Which one is gonna serve me better, man? I'd rather pay you a couple hundred dollars, $1,000, and just go ahead. Go ahead. I ain't got to put this. I'm going to spend the same money putting it into you, trying to make you see why you here. And I never have no assurance that you ever going to get that. What's up? Go ahead.
This dude got his hand up.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I ain't paying you nothing. All I'm going to do is stack up this paperwork. Every time you late, document.
Mm.
Every time you don't do as you do, it's documented. So when I get ready to fire you, it's documented.
No, you need to tell me why I need to be here on time, motivator.
No. Once I've exhausted every option, and I see you aren't changing, you're not doing what I asked you to do or what I need you to do to make our company more productive. Now the pen is a lot better than the sword.
Well, as you just said that, I kind of feel like we're saying the same thing, maybe in a different way.
No. You saying don't motivate nobody. You saying they should be intrinsically motivated. That's what you saying. Okay. No, I don't need to motivate you. I just need you to show up. I need you to do your work and don't talk to me.
I ain't gonna talk to you.
You gonna talk to me. Just do your work and go home.
See, that's your interpretation of what. Now, are you done so I can say what I said or what I'm saying?
I think all three of them.
No.
Everybody.
Ain't nobody got to guess what I'm saying when I'm sitting right here. I can tell you what I'm saying.
What you saying?
Okay.
I'm saying,
if I've hired somebody and I see that they are not they're not giving me the productivity that I would like to see or that I feel they're capable of, I'm not saying that I'm not going to work with that person.
You just said you wouldn't. You said you ain't motivated.
No, that's what you heard. That's not what I said. That's what you heard. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is I don't think my manager's job is to motivate to be how I say this so you get it so you can't misinterpret what I'm saying.
You understand this?
He's talking to you. He's talking to you.
This
is
y'all.
I understand
what he's saying because he said
that
don't matter.
Okay.
He said that don't matter.
Listen, I wanted to get this point out because I want y'all, if y'all will agree, but if not agree to disagree,
yeah.
we got to get it to the top.
We ain't there?
No, we ain't there.
Man, come on, man.
Self-motivated employers like self-motivated people, but we have to come to the realization that everybody's not a self-motivator and that they need a push. And a good manager that has an operation to run is going to manage those people differently. He has no choice. He has no choice. If he wants top production, he has to manage the people that he doesn't have to motivate. He's not going to waste his time motivating them.
He's
going to move on.
I watched the video.
And he's going to motivate
them.
TED Talk got a video. It's called A Why. Motivating people on why they do what they do. At the end of the day, that's how you get the best out of anybody. You got to tap into the why. Why do you get up and come here? Is it just to get a paycheck? What do you want something more out of your future? What do you need? What motivates you to be successful?
Okay, so when you get the answer that I come here for a paycheck, what you do? Because right then he's telling you it ain't got nothing to do with you or your company. I come here for a paycheck.
It ain't what he do. It's what you do. After that point, it's what you do then. Because then
at the end of the day, he knows he need to come here and work. Not necessarily.
But
if
you're productive and what you do to collect your paycheck is what he need out of you, then it ain't no issue.
Ain't no issue.
So why did we go there anyway?
Ain't no issue.
What you mean? But if it's something
if it
more,
is,
you got to dig below the surface.
And he need more out of you and he not getting it? And you not willing to...
No, here's what I'm saying to you. As a manager, you ask that employee that question and he tell you, I got to eat. I got a family support.
That can be taken two different ways.
You got to eat. You got a family. So you know what motivates him.
Right. That
he's
going
to
do everything
in
his power.
About his kids, about his wife, about what they're doing. How you doing this?
Even if it's
how
just
everything,
a question
it's
of,
just a random conversation.
Hey, how's the family?
Exactly.
Family good? That's what's up.
How you
that's
wife
all
doing,
it
man?
Is.
I know your wife won't know what you're doing. Is she doing
that
right?
Ain't got to get that deep.
He doesn't even got to go. Because
can
when
you
see you know
somebody, anything to this man? Either one of y'all, as his manager, can you say anything to him that he did not know already? Is there anything you can say to him that he didn't know?
Plenty you can say to him.
Listen, man.
About his, about why he's motivated? About his family? About his motivation?
When you need him to, if he's not doing, he got to do, you use that as ammunition.
That's all you got to tell him, man. I'm not
day,
getting what I need
look,
from him.
Look, man, at the end of the day, you know, Derek, I know you come in for your wife and your family. You want to perform. You want to put your bread on. You want to put food on your table for your family. So what I need you to do, you're slacking off in this area, in this area, in this area. This is what you can do to correct that. And if you do these steps, I'm telling you to correct that, you'll be right back on track.
Yeah.
So now your motivation for taking care of your family, there's no worry because you got that, what you need. But at the end of the day, I need you to come here and I need you to work and I need you to know why you come to work every day and provide for your family.
Why not just say that from the beginning? Why bring his family into that? Why not just jump to the fact that I need you to come here and be productive?
If you don't know me personally, don't talk about my family. That's why you got to get to know him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I'm asking,
the purpose and the reason for motivation is not to get what is expected.
It's to get more.
It's to get more.
Yes.
The whole point of motivation. So if I need to get to know you in order to motivate you, it's to get that extra. Okay, I know you usually leave at 7, but I need you to stay till 7:45.
Yeah, I need you to put a limit.
You know what? You know what, Corey?
So then you got to do that for all your employees.
You got to know what motivates them.
But you, if you ain't, if they don't, you, if you don't, so okay, okay, that's like, so you don't.
I ain't
have,
a boss. I ain't a boss.
And you don't have no connection towards your boss
to
or your supervisor or anything like that. And they come to you and they ask you.
But I would bet you ain't got no connection.
They
with
ask you for 5 minutes.
I bet that.
10 minutes.
Hold on, I got both of y'all talking at the same time.
What are you talking about?
I bet he ain't got no connection with him. I bet. But with your boss? With your boss? I bet
saying
that.
I'm
asking
the
question.
How much you want to bet?
So you got a connection with your boss?
I do.
Why?
You ask him that. He's the boss. I'm not.
You know why he got a connection with you? Because he know what motivates you.
I put my life on it. If you ask him what motivates me,
he don't know it.
He cannot.
Well, how did y'all connect?
Ask him. He's the boss. I ain't.
How about I can't talk to him because I don't know him?
Okay.
So how about you be his interpreter?
I don't understand why.
How about you
tell
him?
You talking to somebody who
doesn't see the
importance
in that? Connection, what makes the connection?
You talking to somebody who doesn't see the importance in that? So I'm not gonna ask you, man. Hey, why?
So
why
you don't have no connection with your boss. He got a connection.
Yeah,
with
he
you.
Got a connection with you. You
but
don't
that's
have
no connection if you ain't connected. That's not a connection.
Okay, well then y'all feel how y'all feel.
No, but I'm just saying, y'all.
at the end of the day, y'all feel how y'all feel about it.
Yeah,
but
pretty much.
Yeah. That's,
you know? And I feel like I said, we can agree to disagree.
That's
okay.
What it is.
Hey, man.
Okay. Let's do this.
Playoff. Okay. I mean, NBA.
Let's talk about
NBA free agents.
Here we go.
I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about everything. That's what I want to talk about. But what you want to start at? What you want to say that?
Listen, I really, this is why I wanted to get into this, because Bone, you brought us out with the post, and it came from a true Heat fan. So if you want to just elaborate on what the initial statement that brought it about.
I think it was what I said was, so basically, whether LeBron stays or goes really doesn't matter. True Heat fans are going to be true Heat fans. You know, we allowed the bandwagon jumpers to get on board. We'll slow down and we'll let them get off if they want to go. You know what I'm saying? But true Heat fans going to be there with LeBron or without LeBron. That's basically what I was saying.
Which I consider yourself to be one. So I applaud you on that, because you was a Heat fan way before LeBron. Way before we even talk about the Heat, just way back in the day when we were young boys. So
yeah, cycling and all of that one.
Yeah, cycling. Oh,
I'm telling you, man. The man used to win at 33, man.
I respect that, no doubt about it. You got to. Now, your point was, dude, if I'm not mistaken, that you respected the fact that LeBron used his ability to have the know-how, not even the know-how, exercise his ability to basically opt out of the contract. Because in some ways, if he didn't, he was pretty much saying he was caged in what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Now, it's an option. Me personally, I don't believe LeBron leaving. That's just me personally. But I do respect the fact that he has the opportunity to step out and do what he needs to do, and by doing so, he exercises his right to do it.
True. I agree.
And if you look at it, it actually has a ripple effect to it, which can offset the other players somewhat that may dislike it, but it also shows the Heat, just as much as Pat Riley came out in that press conference and said, look, y'all need to get it together, he's telling the Heat, the administration,
Mickey Ward and all them,
he's telling them, y'all need to get it together. I ain't got to stay here either. Mm. Does he have a right to say that?
Yeah. Does he? He got a right to say what he want to say.
Why? What?
Well, he's been there 4 years.
Pat Riley?
What about LeBron?
LeBron
got to say what he want. He can say what he want to say, too. There are very few times in your career that you can become a free agent. You can dictate what you want. You realize how many billions of dollars the NBA make off LeBron James? How many billions of dollars they make off D-Wade and Kevin Durant and Tim Duncan and
At the end of the day,
you talking from a fan's perspective. This is a big. So if I can opt out of my contract and get $20 million when they're only going to give me 17 here, and I can get 20 over here when I got two kids, a wife, and a baby on the way, it's about the future. Because once them knees go out, once age catch up with LeBron, they're not going to have a problem dropping him. They're not going to have a problem.
Where is he going to go? He's chasing championships. Where is he going to go to where he's going to win another championship within the next 2-3 years? Where?
He's going to start over.
You know what I honestly believe, and I see your point.
Chicago.
Ain't nobody entertaining that. I hear your point, Bo. I hear your point totally. But you know what? I got a lot of credit and faith in LeBron. And I think, honestly, he did this from a business sense.
Yes, he did.
I don't think he did.
I'm going to tell you what he did. It's posturing. Because it's only like four or five people on the roster. at this point. It's only him, Wade, Bosh, and
Cole. Cole?
Who? Norris Cole.
Cole.
He look like Thope. So at the end of the day, if they only have so many people on the roster, they don't have enough to fill a roster. So what they doing is they take it. He gonna take a probably a pay cut. Bosh gonna take a pay cut. Wade may not opt out.
LeBron,
because they gotta get people to fill the roster. They gotta get new blood, in there to fill the roster. That's what a lot of people don't know.
Explain this to me from a business standpoint. Why would I, if I have my best interest at mind, and I know how much I'm gonna make next year in my contract, why would I opt out of that to turn around and take a pay cut?
Because at the end, it's for the team. At the end of the day, they only got $63 million, and three of them taking 60.
For the team, we saying a lot.
If you are the same man the other day that said LeBron is my business.
If that's his best chance of winning,
no, that's what it was about. You said money.
Understand?
You said business.
Listen, it is business, but he wanna win. So why would he go to Sacramento? With a roster full of nobody.
Sacra who?
Middle. I'm just using an example.
Yeah.
Why would he go there when he ain't got no chance of winning a championship, when they can revamp this roster, put Wade on the bench, maybe get somebody else to replace Wade, keep Bosh in the starting lineup, revamp this roster, and have a chance to win a couple more championships?
I'm going
to
ask you a series of logical questions.
I'm a logical person.
There you go. Did LeBron have a chance at winning a championship in Cleveland?
He went to the finals.
Did he have a chance at winning a championship?
Yeah, they got blown out by the Spurs.
So he had a chance at winning a championship in Cleveland, is what you're saying. Why did LeBron opt to leave Cleveland?
Because Cleveland was not building. They weren't getting players in there that was good enough to win a title. That's why he left. It's good to get them. How about the Buffalo Bills? They got them 4 times in a row. But the players weren't good enough to win a championship. So why would you stay in a place that they're not building around you? They're not getting the proper players you need. Plus, he was young. Man was young. He was immature. He didn't really realize what was going on and what. But at the end of the day, who want to play in Cleveland?
I would think he would want to play in Cleveland.
He's from there. But what other players want to play in Cleveland if they're not drafted there? What free agents just go to Cleveland?
You got
the best player in the world. You can get him to come here.
You don't think he sat down with Bosh and Wade in 2006? When they met in 2006 together and figured out, okay, we're going to get a 3-year, 4-year contract. We can opt out. And then we can play together. They met in 2006 at the same time to figure out what their future was going to be. So if that was the case, they would have went to Cleveland then in 2010. He wouldn't have had to leave. These boys, what you said, realize that these boys have been planning this for 8 years.
They wanted to get in Miami.
They've been planning this for 8 years.
This plan. I'm inclined to believe this plan.
It is. They've been doing this for eight years.
What do you mean?
They just met yesterday.
Him opting out?
Yeah.
All that.
They just had a meeting yesterday.
He's restructuring his contract.
So he can get players around him. In Miami, like I told you, Miami is one of the largest markets. Why do you want to leave paradise?
Hear what you're saying to me. Please hear what you're saying. Who else? What else does Miami need? At this point right now, what does Miami need?
A lot. They lost the championship.
I ain't talking about that. I'm asking you what they need. Because if I'm not mistaken, they won the championship last year. And they won it the year before that. So what do they need? We're not talking about a team that has not won. They've won.
But they lost. That's past tense.
Did you watch the
championship? Did you watch Birdman? Did you watch Haslam?
They weren't there when they won?
Do you realize age has caught up to them?
Time change, man.
Yeah.
They need something.
Okay, this ain't my
call. Father Time is undefeated. Well, I don't know what Tim Duncan is doing.
Oh, okay. So you do understand that
he's a rarity, right?
That's what it boils down to. The chemistry is not there. They need fresh blood. Dwayne Wade is as a fan as I am of Dwayne Wade.
No,
it ain't nothing about him caring. He can't even pull his own weight. He ain't pulling his own weight right now, homeboy. He needs to come off the bench.
He stopped caring 4 years ago.
Really?
He did. I can see like this right here. That's true.
And injury held him back too, though.
Yeah.
No, we're not trying to.
We ain't knocking him.
Yeah, he's a great player.
But age has caught up to him. And all those balls.
Yeah.
All those trembles.
That's what I'm saying. The man needs to go the whole hard.
So what you think about
Nathan?
That
when you say what they needed, you said what they needed. That's what they needed.
They need
a fresh blood at the point guard position.
Now I don't know Thomas. I don't know what happened to Thomas.
I think he reached his peak.
I know what happened.
Thomas was.
Everybody know what happened. Napier coming in. We'll see you, y'all.
Get with you.
We'll get with you.
So all of y'all are saying that, from what I'm hearing, is in your heart of hearts, you believe LeBron is coming back to Miami.
Yeah.
Staying in Miami.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Where would he go? I mean,
look
why?
Look at what's around him.
Why rebuild somewhere else when you can
rebuild
where
you're
at?
Look where you can raise your children and your family.
Hey, I just asked a question.
He took the hit. He took the hit and knew he was going to take the hit.
I'm sorry.
He felt like I've been here before.
It's easy on
Wade now because he took the hit first.
Think about us, right here. We ain't got $20 million, but we were raised in a point where we don't want to keep at our age. We don't want to keep going from job to job.
No,
job to job. That's what LeBron gonna be doing if he leaves Miami.
He know what he looked like
take
too.
Away from his greatness.
Yeah.
For me, that's gonna take away from
now
his greatness.
Now he's gonna become a journeyman. And journeyman not looked as good in the NBA. Or any professional, athletic profession.
The only journeyman that looked good is Robert Orr.
That's it.
He's really the only one.
Boy, he could hit a shot.
Because he got championships.
Well, he got 7 of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Big shot boss.
And every championship, it was got cool.
Listen, if he go anywhere, he'll go to Cleveland, I think. I mean,
in a couple
of
years, in the next country,
if you're gonna rebuild,
next country, he'll go back to Cleveland.
If you're gonna rebuild somewhere,
about 4 years,
why not go home and rebuild?
He'll go back to Cleveland.
Because he's gonna do the same thing no matter what other team he goes to.
I'm gonna say something right now.
Not going
to
the Spurs.
He got it.
Kobe still played for the Lakers, so he ain't going to the Lakers unless Kobe retires. He's not going to the Lakers.
Ain't nobody going to the Lakers. Not no big name. The
Clippers don't need him. They got enough contracts as it is. Where else is he gonna go? Brooklyn? He's not going to Brooklyn.
No. You said if you're going to rebuild, why not go home?
And rebuild. If you're going to rebuild.
And that's what they're doing.
They're about to rebuild.
That's my point. He's going to rebuild.
Cleveland ain't got the money that Miami about to restructure and get either. Cleveland ain't got the players Miami got the talent to get either.
I don't think he's going to work.
But the people who don't know basketball, the minute he said he was opting out, what's going to happen now when LeBron leaves Miami? How you know he's leaving? Because he did it before, and that's why he took the hit. I think that's exactly why he might be leaving, so he can get players. He might not be leaving, he's just restructuring his contract for everybody else. He can get players anywhere around him, or it could be even more personal.
I agree with that too. I know he could have opted out. This is because we was hearing a whole lot of Carmelo talk. Why y'all even thinking about Carmelo? We don't need Carmelo.
Carmelo, we're a good friend.
You know why? They don't need another big
You don't realize what they're doing, dude.
They don't need another big
All
game.
All these players, these superstars are unionized, man.
Yeah, but they already are unionized.
They're unionized. No, they're in a union.
But they really
But they're making a partnership.
They exercise and
they're right. They're right.
Yeah.
These boys are smarter than they used to be.
And that's what happened in Miami.
Because they know you need 2 or 3 superstars to win a championship.
Boston did it first.
Yeah.
And we overlooked it. And we just said, oh, that's
Chicago did it first.
With who?
Hell, you can go back farther than that.
The Lakers did it first.
You can go
back farther than that.
Boston
in the 60s
did it. In the New Age. In the New Age era, yeah. But in the New Age era, it was Chicago. Chicago did it.
We pointed this out in the last show.
First.
The reason why Miami caught so much slack over doing it is because of LeBron. It had nothing to do with them teaming up. Nobody cared about nobody else.
Chicago did it because they drafted. The Spurs did it because they drafted. The Miami's looked at as the Yankees. They just went out and bought it.
Drafting ain't no union.
But think about this. Drafting is not a union. But with them boys, they're doing a partnership.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Drafting is just having a...
Just the right insight to know what to pick up.
And being intelligent about what you need.
That speaks to his first round.
You said something. Partnership. When you say it like that, that's a partnership within our organization.
Yeah.
Do you think eventually the NBA will have no choice but to start to kind of dip in that? I mean,
I don't know how they're going to dip in it when all these boys got free reign to go where they want to go and they're free agents.
Yeah,
they're changing
the right. Restructuring the contract.
But they did that already for the lockout.
So they got, what, 8 years now before they can do anything?
Yeah, they did that for the lockout a couple years ago.
The lockout was done so they can get more freedom, right?
Yeah, so they can get more leverage.
That's why
LeBron James has taken advantage of that.
Full advantage.
If it's anybody else,
what he's doing, that man is a businessman. People around him are very smart. So I don't have a problem with the decision. Everybody told it was untaxable. Oh, it was this. Oh, it was that. Why? When he gave $3 million to the Boys and Girls Club from that little 30-minute televisitation.
I think
I just made up a word too.
Yeah.
You did.
We do it all the time.
I think I just made up a word. But at the end of the day, I don't have a problem with the decision. You know why? Because he shouldn't let nobody dictate what he does. And that's what the NBA, that's what the NFL, that's what the Major League Baseball, they try to do.
Not even Pat Riley?
Pat Riley can dictate what he do. Why?
So why the hell do you want your boss?
Because God ain't getting
it. Man, get off of me, man.
I know. But you got to have a connection.
Well, yeah, it helped.
This dude been sitting there the whole time.
He was waiting on
me.
He was waiting on me.
It was me. You can't have a connection, but if I get a better offer over here, I can go.
Well, you know,
I believe, honestly, now this man, this can help T.I. Not that he needs any help.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
But this just, hey, man, look, I'm not, hey, listen, you're going to tell me. You ain't going to tell me which side to be on. I go all over the place. This is what I do.
Tell me what you think.
But, indeed, I really believe Pat Riley could lead the Miami Heat from a business standpoint and not have a real relationship with the player.
I can see that.
Yeah,
you
I believe that.
It, but they got
I believe that. It's different. As long as they got that.
Them. The only one he ain't coaching.
I didn't say the coach.
But he coached them. He coached D-Wade.
He didn't coach LeBron. This is what we're talking about.
You. But because he coached D-Wade, because he got a partnership, he got a relationship with
man,
D-Wade.
D-Wade don't matter no LeBron, boy.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If you got somebody that you've been following and y'all been winning, right, and I come along and you say, dude, check this out. I need you to team up with me right now. The cat I got. I've been watching from afar. And I'm just
right.
Grooming.
Right.
Let me in. Mm-hmm. Now I come in, you say, dude, get in with me. I'm jumping in. Won't I be more inclined to follow this cat? But this cat, because this cat been leading you down the right direction.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's the same with Pat Riley.
Makes sense.
Make a lot of sense because you've been winning.
Yeah,
so why, if you've been winning because you following this cat leading you in the right direction, why would I hop on the train and win too?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's the only reason D-Wade got 3 championships.
It makes total sense. But what I'm saying, ultimately, is what I'm saying to you is, LeBron does not have to have a connection with Pat Riley at this point. At all.
Because the mission has been accomplished.
Why don't he have to have a connection with Pat Riley?
Because at the end of the day, if LeBron want to play for the Heat and play for the Heat for real, he's going to play for the Heat for real. At the end of the day, that's that.
Thank you.
Now, the dynamic of that is different. Because he don't have to deal with Pat Riley every day. Now, if we're talking about Eric
Spoelstra, you say he ain't got to deal with Pat Riley every day.
Why do you have to deal with Pat Riley? Makes it a point to deal with him every day.
But that's
on Pat Riley.
He's either going to have a connection, LeBron going to leave. Because he ain't going to get along with Pat Riley, he's going to leave.
So if LeBron stays and he resigns, what does that mean?
He got a connection with Eric Spoelstra and his teammate.
And not Pat Riley?
He don't have to have a connection with Pat Riley. He don't, why? Did you see what the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers wrote after he left? They had no kind of connection. Had to. They couldn't have no connection for him to say that about that man.
That was a girl. He looked at him as being a Brian's girlfriend. Somebody like that. He looked at he was married in LeBron. He didn't see that as a business. Because if he seen it as a business, he would have did everything he could to put the pieces around LeBron.
So if he seen it,
he thought
then
that
he
was married.
Understood why LeBron made a different choice.
Made a different choice.
If he looked at
he put all his eggs in one basket. He had a king, and he lost.
Okay.
You had a pretty girl.
I get it. I get it.
And
get
somebody
it
came through, and you ain't do what you was supposed to do. You got in a hut. Look out of him.
So what did LeBron do, though?
Oh, LeBron made the decision best for him.
Okay.
And in business, you got to make a decision best for you. That's my point. Because at the end of the day, business is not loyal to you.
That's why I was saying to you, D-Wade don't matter.
He matters.
Yes, he plays a part.
He's a personal connection.
It plays a part. It plays a total part. I believe it. I do believe
it. Yeah,
that.
Because
but at
the end
of the
day,
you play a total
if
part.
If you run Corey D-Wade, y'all boys been doing this for a minute.
Yeah.
Y'all had a connection. Y'all been knowing each other. Y'all ain't played on the same team, but you've been close from a personal standpoint.
Yeah.
Now, Corey, you know, you're like, hey, man, you ain't getting up and down this court like you used to. But you ain't going to throw him to the wayside.
No, I'm not.
Y'all going to figure out a plan and say, hey, I need you here from a personal standpoint.
No,
it ain't about your athletic ability no more because that's waning.
I told her.
But I need you here motivation. I need to see you. We need to do this together completely.
Help groom these young players.
Around because you're a leader.
I get
you. So
you
ain't going nowhere. So at the end of the day, LeBron got a lot of endorsements. So you don't mind Corey making a little more money than you this year. It's only 1 year.
All that is understandable. I get it. I totally get that. Y'all are all my friends. And what we sit down and talk about, I take in and I listen to it. And it weighs on my opinions, I'm sorry. At the end of the day, it does. But Derek is going to make Derek's decision when it's all said and done.
But you're going to think about us.
Yeah, I'm going to think about you, but that don't mean I'm going to make the decision because of
him. What he's saying is him thinking about.
Yeah.
May not influence his decision.
Right.
True.
I'm going to think about it. I might feel some kind of way about it.
But it's business, so don't feel some type of way when I make a decision.
That's what I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
But I do think.
So that's why he's saying Wade don't make a bit of difference to LeBron. Because LeBron can say the same thing to Wade. Hey, man, what we got is personal, but it's this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to win it. And I got to look out for me.
But my thing is, I don't think LeBron is hungry as well.
You don't think then
that's a problem?
That's the problem, is not.
Do you remember the last post I posted on that? That whole thing?
I don't think he may have been as hungry. Because think about this. If me and you together, we go to this buffet and we eat, we get real full. Mm-hmm. Then we get in the car, we ride around a little bit, you know what we do. Then we go to the next buffet, we get real full.
Uh-huh.
When we get to that next buffet, we ain't going to be as eager to eat. And I don't think he may not be that eager to eat right now.
Why wouldn't he be?
Because he's already attained what he was after.
He's twice.
He's arrived.
That's it.
Everybody's different.
And what we want
different.
For LeBron?
LeBron might not want for him.
He might not want for himself.
You know what?
The expectations we put on him, he may not have.
Sometimes it's hard for us to accept.
Think about this right now. LeBron, if he hang up the cleats right now, he's all the Hall of Fame.
What can you say he hasn't done?
He did it all.
So he's good. As long as LeBron is good with LeBron.
From a fan standpoint.
What y'all talk about, don't matter.
From a fan standpoint,
that's why it's about business.
I think he can win, I don't know.
But he can't do it by himself.
Okay.
He's 30.
Oh, you know what I want to talk about? Okay, I want to talk about this. This is what I want to talk about. Do you feel that they may have given up, the Heat have given up too much for their draft pick? Shabazz Napier. They gave up a 26th and a 55th and a future second round selection.
I know. Not if they keep the nucleus they got.
26th, 55th, and what?
A future
second round.
They don't say how far in the future.
Yeah,
but the 26th they gave up was this year. So they just swapped.
Yeah, well, see, that don't matter.
They just swapped P.J. Harrison for Shabazz Napier. I don't know who the 55th was because I went to sleep. But
I did see it. It was another guard.
Yeah, I don't
it
know.
Was another guard. Yeah.
But that's who they
picked
swapped.
Guard.
So,
so
yeah,
basically,
the
all they
Hornets
gave up
was
the Hornets,
the,
right?
It was the Hornets, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
I
was the Charlotte got P.J. Harrison, and they got another guard to come off the bench.
Makes sense.
But
oh,
Shabazz, he good, but I don't think looking at Shabazz at 6'1", what, 200 pounds? I don't think he going to measure up. I don't think on the off, on the defensive end of the court, he going to measure up to Tony Parker, to Michael Westbrook.
You don't need that when you got LeBron.
I think you do. I think because at the end of the day, what we saw.
But that was the whole point of this whole thing is because you need somebody to help LeBron.
What we saw.
No.
Don't be surprised in a year or two.
LeBron needs help. They need an offensive. They need an offensive true point guard.
Yeah, they need that.
Now, defensively,
I'm not sure they need a defensive point guard.
You realize that that's what they got.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
For defense,
they got Mayfield for defense.
Yeah, that boy play real hard defense.
Then that's
and true. he play on both ends of the court. And at the end of the day, do his skills to fight in guarding CP3, guarding Tony Parker, guarding Tyreek Evans.
Well,
right now.
Everybody
that's
uses
when they
playing.
They ain't playing in 2
Everybody
years.
Uses his name in their 30s.
Who? Tyreek Evans in his
30s. Not except him.
When in his 30s.
All of them match up with Napier and height and size.
No, they don't.
Tell me one though. Tony Parker's 6'5". Tony Parker's 80.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're going to lose that.
You see him?
I get that.
You seen him play?
I get that, but have you seen Napier play? He's young. He's ready. It's almost like seeing Rondo in his prime.
Can he match up to Rondo?
But one thing we've seen.
I believe so.
One thing you've seen is Tony Parker play on another level.
And we've seen Rondo play on another level.
I'm giving Napier more credit than he probably deserves at this point. But it's because we're trying to establish this around the Heat getting and everybody staying. I think the team will be perfect. Me personally, you gotta go get your power forward.
I think Napier.
Yeah, they need him a power
forward. You got your power
forward.
A young.
Yeah, they need
your power forward.
And I think that's what they're banking on. I think they're banking on
free agents. Yeah.
You know, they're banking on free agency.
They got
to get
because the draft over. So all they can do is fill out their roster with free agents.
And do you think Napier was a good pick?
I think he was.
I think he was.
I think he was a real good pick because he nasty. He gritty.
Yeah.
My thing is, what is he gonna do? Every night, what is he going to do on both ends? This ain't college.
Listen, man. Nobody's playing defense no more. And you know that. We had this discussion before.
You see why Miami lost in the championship?
Miami gave up. Because Miami got one of the best defenses I ever seen play. When they play Indiana will come down and hold the ball a whole 24-second clock and didn't get nothing.
That's the problem. Because they weren't a fluid offense. When you play a fluid offense.
That's why I said earlier.
I saw a play with Tony Parker, just right here, just serious, championship series. Tony Parker drove to the hoop, passed the ball to Boris Diaw in the paint. Boris Diaw, well, he wasn't in the paint. He was like on the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Boris Diaw bouncing the ball. He gets in the paint. Guess what Tony Parker was? At the three-point line. That's a fluid offense. In the NBA, they ain't moving like that on every other team.
Either that's a fluent offense or a quick point guard. That's what it sounds like.
The man was on the right side of the court, Tony Parker. He drives to the basket, pass the ball to Boris Diaw. He comes down, takes two steps, and run back out. Boris Diaw bouncing the ball, runs in the paint, passed the ball to him. He wide open.
Is Tony Parker really, and this might be a lot of your point, too, she was making earlier that I disagreed on. I might have to come back and swap. Is really Tony Parker really a big of an issue? Because the year before, he was there, and they stopped him.
They ain't stopped him.
He got to stop himself. I have to admit, he was injured last year, if I'm not mistaken.
He injured this year.
Yeah, he's injured this year.
But he was hungry.
That's the difference.
That's the difference.
He
was
a hungry team.
He wasn't hungry.
That's
the difference. He wasn't hungry.
I don't care who you put up against the Heat. That's hungry.
He had a bad hamstring and ankle.
Man, you crazy. If the Heat ain't hungry...
It don't matter.
If they were hungry, San Antonio would not have stood a chance if they were hungry. Period.
So Kawhi Leonard,
none of that
wouldn't
matter.
That's good. That's great. But you talk about D-Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh all clicking.
Hungry.
Ray Allen. Clicking.
Come on, man.
That's what we seen the year before.
I get what y'all saying. I see it.
They need something now to motivate that chemistry.
Now, maybe losing it.
And that is
the problem. That's the problem I had this whole conversation.
But at the end
of
the day,
why do you need somebody to motivate you?
Well, we say that all the time about LeBron. He'll come out and have a bad game, and that'll drive him the next game. Why he don't show up every night? That's my problem with him, period.
Well, LeBron
will never be on Michael Jordan level to me. Unless he changes that, he'll never be on Michael Jordan level.
I thought we was going to finish this conversation.
I'm sorry.
You cannot talk about that.
Hey, man, he wasn't even the one that brought him up. I brought him up. I thought we was going to do it, man.
I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to be real with y'all right now.
How so?
Yeah. Don't do that. What I'm saying is this, dog. I watch that tape right here. If in this, where we at right now, in this studio, if you pop in, come fly with me.
Yeah. I will.
Yeah.
When you finish.
If not. I was drooling watching him come fly. There is not a player in the NBA
in the world
that is doing
that has done.
But Michael Jordan did on come fly with me.
It
ain't a player. It ain't LeBron. It ain't Kobe. I saw a play on come fly with me where he in the corner. He's spinning. He spins to the right. He spins to the left. And he goes down, he put his hand down.
Mm-hmm.
Keep dribbling, pops back up, and bam! I said, oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, and when he got up, it wasn't nobody that he had lost everything.
He had lost, and he failed.
The only person was left was Ewan, Tony Ewan.
And he put his hand down, keep dribbling,
here's the thing.
Comes up and just bashes.
You can't coach that.
No, you can't.
You can't buy that. You can't train it.
It don't come from an alien either.
You don't need no. You don't need no connection either for that.
You
He is a self-motivated
person. You know what motivated him though?
But
how many Jordans could there be though? If we didn't have people who were pacifying people and who said, I'm the ones who come here who want to do, man, as long as you pacifying you, they're going to take it.
As long as I know you're going to pat me on the back and say, man,
what's going on with you, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to give you that.
But in return, for that, Jordan wasn't pacifying. He failed.
I'm not saying that Jordan was pacifying.
I'm saying that.
You know what? It's called a connection.
Oh. With who? Who was the connection with?
Yeah, who the connection with?
With Phil Jackson.
Jordan was great before Phil.
He was a Hall of Famer. Phil Jackson.
Yes.
He was a Hall of Famer.
Jordan had one Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. He was leading scorer, all of that before Phil came.
Famer.
Yes. You want to watch Come Fly With Me?
Yes.
It's all that before Phil.
We're going to watch all that before
Phil.
Well,
it's nothing with Phil. There's no highlight tape of Jordan with Phil Jackson.
On Come Fly With Me. Not one.
It's his first year.
All Come Fly With Me is Doug Collins.
I said Phil Jackson's first year. It is some of Phil in his first year. But not once they won a championship. Jordan hadn't won no championship when Come Fly With Me came out.
No, he hadn't. But why did he win the championship?
No, you asked me was the Hall of Fame.
Because
you didn't ask me why he
won. I don't think he might not have been a Hall of Fame.
That's your opinion.
You see
Come Fly With Me.
I saw Ray Hill.
You know what year Come Fly With Me made in, right?
Nope, I missed that part of it. I'm sorry. I ain't missing any lie about that.
Well, we're going to clear it up.
Let's go back to what we were talking about. Let me ask y'all a question. Do you think Miami would benefit more from having a true a true three or a true four?
Yes, LeBron a true three. LeBron is a three.
Is he? Because I think he's a true one through four. Me. He can play anything one through four and it be true if he wants to.
Who the three then?
Answer my question. Would they benefit more?
Three? Bosh
would
four.
Bosh would fall
to four. LeBron played a three. Cannon play the two.
Can they move LeBron to the
two? They get a true power forward. You can, honestly, now, this may be a stretch, but I haven't seen it happen in the East because the Bulls won a lot of championships without a true center. You can drop.
No, they had a true center. every time. No, you just didn't score.
A true center?
Yeah, Bill
Conrad.
Bill Conrad.
He was a true center. I'll talk to you later.
What else did he do?
And Purdue. Real Purdue. Yeah, right.
They were true centers. They
just wasn't
on the offensive end of the court.
But I mean, your interpretation is true and mine is totally different.
So was
we can drop box to five.
No.
And get a true four, and I
can't drop
box. Listen, man.
I ain't
talking
about this box.
No,
listen. I believe it can happen.
No,
he ain't ready on the defensive end.
Let me explain why.
Vice is really a defensively, he gets a lot of blocks and rebounds. Really, honestly. Defensively, he does.
As a what?
Whatever he be playing. I don't know what he's playing. We're going to put him at 5'9", so he's going to have a choice what to do. So if he's all over the place doing it, if you put him in that position to play that, he can do it. You get a good four, you got LeBron at 3. You probably won't have Wade at 2.
Probably.
We don't know which way is
Wade at 2.
But you can leave. Say Wade come back healthy.
Wade gonna be 6 man.
Wade gonna be 6 man.
Wade come back healthy. We put him at 2. Just for the sake of conversation.
Next year he's not.
Napier stars at 1. You still got Colt on him.
Maybe they
He got him.
I don't see it.
See what?
I do not see it. Wade coming off a 6 man next year.
Yeah.
I don't see that, man. I can't see that.
I don't
think about
it.
Think about it. They are, man, I don't
even
want to watch them.
Though.
Well,
it's not winning.
Okay. I don't want to watch them.
Don't watch them. They're
going to get Lance Stevenson to play the 2. Wade come off the bench. Allen come off the bench. Bron at the 3. Bosh at the 4. All we need to do is get a center.
No. Put Bosh at 5. You don't need a center. Ain't no real centers in the NBA.
All who need to do is get a 5.
They do.
Okay.
No, listen, man.
Get off the bandwagon. I'm kicking you off.
Put Bosh at 5.
I like LeBron.
Listen, put Bosh at 5, man. It will work. You ain't got to worry about Hibbert. He don't even score.
It's working, dude.
But what you going to do?
Tell me how it's not going to work.
What you going to do with the West?
He played a 5 anyway.
He played a 4.
No. Half of the time, he is the center on the court.
From a defensive standpoint?
Because that's the only thing, Birdman. Birdman ain't coming in.
He's going, man.
Birdman is
a 5.
Birdman is a
4. He's 6'11". He's a 5. Bird is
a center. That's what he's supposed to be. Have you seen him play it? Have you seen him play a center? A true center?
Yeah.
But you the same guy said that
Bill Cartwright wasn't
a true center, so I don't know why.
Bill Cartwright wasn't a true center, was he?
No, Bill Cartwright was not a true center.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would you rather have Birdman or Bill Cartwright?
Hey, with you.
Night, night.
With you. With you.
With you. Okay. The true center.
Okay, I'll put it this way. The Bulls would have won 10 to the Birdman if you take Bill Cartwright out of
there. They had Jordan.
Yeah. He got LeBron.
LeBron ain't Jordan.
We're going to figure it out. He's different.
He's not Jordan.
Well, then, I can't win in this conversation. I'm going to go back out.
No, I'm going back out. Stay in your bra.
I understood it. I told you. The man ain't a true son. Listen, I'm going to tell you why he ain't a true son. And I know I watch a lot of Bulls, so I feel like I can go here on this one.
Mm-hmm.
The man is not a true son.
You had a Bulls jacket that went to pass your knee.
Yeah, I did. You remember that in the trench?
Yeah,
I forgot all about it.
You had a Bulls trench coat.
Yeah, I sure did.
In Florida.
Hey! I was in Florida.
I was in Chicago.
I lived in Chicago for about a long time.
All your idols from Chicago.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. What you think about our kid?
What is going on?
You don't know
what's going on?
You ain't heard about the song?
Oh,
y'all finna hit me with something.
Oh,
man.
What happened?
He transgendered.
Yeah.
He transgendered.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen. R. Kelly came out and gave a statement the other day.
I didn't hear about that, but I will say this much.
No. Yo, that is R. Kelly.
And you transgender.
They got nothing to do with it. I'm gonna tell you why. So the fact that his makeup is different than his what his dad is, does that for a living, we don't know if my if now this is the truth and this is my dog, but we don't know if the armor ain't transgender when we ain't looking.
We don't know.
He got it from somewhere.
But what we do know is he ain't came out and said I'm transgender.
He came out and said his son was going.
His son came out.
The son came out and said it for
him? Yeah.
How old is the boy? He's gotta be young.
No, he's like in middle age, like in the teens, the early 20s.
That's what he's that old?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. This is R. Kelly real boy.
Yeah.
He said
he's real boy.
This is real boy.
R. Kelly real boy.
Yes.
Real.
He's real boy.
That person is bloodline.
Yeah. Kelly came out and gave a statement. If he didn't his son, I'd have told him right then, look here, I'll adopt it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. For real. You can't do that. If you love him, you love him.
Yeah.
You can't go out and
adopt him. I ain't got no
children.
That's my out.
He's free to have a choice.
I think that's what it is.
I got four children.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I don't know what's up lay down the road ahead of me. So
you gonna love them. Let's talk hypothetically. Let's talk about somebody else.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I understand from the standpoint of from man to man far
right.
I get it. If it's your son, you gotta love him.
Like Magic Johnson.
His son is a homosexual, right?
Yeah. So what do you do? What do you say to your son? I'm talking to BJ now about If your son came to you one day and told you that same news, what do you say? How do you handle that?
I'm sure it would be a difficult conversation to have, but I love my son.
Yep.
And I think more than anything, that would be the majority of the conversation and feeling that my love for my son is going to overwhelm anything else.
So, at that point, we don't even need to have this conversation about R. Kelly. So, it is what it is.
We can go on radio.
If he,
we got the liberty.
But why would we?
Because we can.
We just did. And we came to the conclusion that that's the man's son. And I'm pretty sure he loves his son. His son got a choice, so it is what it is.
But I get it, though.
It is what it is.
I get it, though, because even the fact that you asked Bone that question points out the fact that we all deal with it.
Yeah, you don't. It's a conversation you don't want to have.
Right.
No, so nobody wants to face.
But it could be reality.
It could be
reality. And then your daddy is the crooner of the decades, of the last two decades.
He's the best.
In my opinion, he's the greatest ever.
That don't make you the best R&B singer.
Number hit.
That does not make you the best. I'm
okay.
asking you a specific.
Look
at
top hit. Okay.
I'm
Billboard
asking you
hit.
A specific question. The best R&B singer.
Singer.
Luther would have made Tyrese shut up, is what I think.
I don't think Luther could have did that. And that's why I say I can't.
See, you're not talking about his singing, though. You're talking
I'm talking about his singing, too.
Hey, it's personal. It's what it is.
It comes down to personal.
It's
you think Luther, the greatest ever, too?
Maybe, I mean, I can't see
him. I'm not saying that Luther, but what I am saying is that I don't think
R. Kelly, I can't sit here and justify me saying that R. Kelly is the best vocally. I'm talking about.
That's what I asked.
I'm talking about vocally. Singer, composer, songwriter, all that.
R. Kelly can't touch Brian McKnight. Singing. Singing. I don't care. I don't know either. But you have to respect.
Brian
McKnight
can sing. Do you realize we heard a song of R. Kelly at about 14, 15 years old? We didn't even realize it was him singing.
Whatever.
Bump and Grind remix.
Sure.
Do you realize? Now, I didn't go deep. Do you realize? Have you ever heard of opera? That's him singing that. So you're going to tell me vocally that Luther is better than R. Kelly?
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to say.
I'm going to say that.
Which one? There's so many.
He in the rain.
Can't sleep?
No, he ain't no rain.
In the remix. What's the one, you know, from the movie?
Oh, I Believe I Can Fly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that.
Yo, Body Calling remix?
It's a personal.
One of my favorite songs ever.
Lyrically, man, can't nobody touch him. I give you that. Lyrically, can't nobody touch him.
I would even argue that. As a total package? As a
right?
total
yeah.
package?
Wait. You're arguing somebody mess with him lyrically?
Come on, dog.
Really?
The man made a movie and song.
Separate categories in vocals and lyrics and this, that, and the third, there are some people that stand up and pass R. Kelly, is all I'm saying. As a total, as a whole, he's it.
Now, I can give you a couple that we are for me, Bobby Womack gives him a goal.
And what, ask vocal?
Yeah. Al Green will give him a goal. Ron Isaac will give him a goal. Luther Vandross will give him a go. Marvin Gaye will give him a go. There's a couple people out there. Otis Redding will give him a go. There's a lot of people out there from a vocal standpoint.
R. Kelly is the Marvin Gaye of our time. That's
yeah.
why I always categorize him.
LeBron and Jordan.
LeBron is not the Michael Jordan of our time.
You can't.
If you
play,
you, no, 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 no.
No. If you compare LeBron to anybody,
okay,
it's Magic
Johnson.
No.
LeBron
anybody
is the LeBron of our time. That's
yeah,
all
he
that
not,
is.
He's not,
not,
he not
anybody else.
So he
hasn't changed the game.
They don't
want to
give
it to him. He has not changed the game.
We got to wrap it up.
We got
5-15
seconds, man.
We got to
wrap
it up. Hey, man. I ain't doing it like that, bro. We gotta go. This is how much fun we're having. With that being said, lock your doors and open your heart to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. Boys in unison.
T-O-A-B-I. Now, I'm gonna keep saying it. On the way out.
The no, he was not. LeBron keeps going.
He was not. The Michael Jordan of our times. He is not.
Can we let it up?
The Michael Jordan of our time. I mean, we still recording. So anybody that, you know, when they pop this in,
they're here.
Yeah. But that's when he is.
No. Why are we in it?
We're not what?
Well,
we're not in this thing. That's what he said. That's what.
So what are we doing then? What are we talking about?
Hey, we just get to see what Bo said. Michael Jordan. LeBron is not Michael Jordan all the time.
Okay, and your opinion is what?
My opinion is he is the Michael Jordan all the time.
How can you not say he's not the... I'm not saying he's better of our time.
If you're going to equate somebody to what we seen Jordan...
I equate him to Magic Johnson.
No, Magic can't do that, man. Come on, get away from him.
Play for real.
You tripping.
Be for real.
What'd they do?
Be for real.
What'd they do? Dwayne got three?
You got to look at the game.
Dwayne got three.
You got to look at the game.
How many Robert Ory got?
Sam.
But you can't put Robert Ory in.
That's what we're trying to tell
everybody,
man.
So why you know that Magic Johnson don't count?
Them five rings.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Them five rings.
He led his team.
Them five rings.
He played inside and outside.
He's not.
He passed the ball greatly.
He's not.
He ran an offense greatly.
He's not LeBron. I'm sorry. He's just not.
Okay, I'm sorry.
He compares to LeBron the best, I think. It's unfair to compare LeBron to Michael Jordan. It's unfair to do that.
It transcended the game to Michael Jordan.
Yes. That's
we
what
have to give that credit.
They had Magic Johnson come in and drop 40 and 10 in a championship series either when the center went out hurt. But Magic Johnson did that.
Magic Johnson did too, though.
I'm not taking away from Magic Johnson. He did that when Kareem got hurt.
Listen,
he moved from point guard to center.
I'm not
his rookie year.
I get that. I'm not taking away from Magic, though. What the dynamic is totally different. LeBron came into the league with nobody there. It was his for the taking. Jordan came and took it from Magic. So we can't even compare Magic to
Jordan. You got to realize somebody's going to take it from LeBron.
I'm okay with that. And LeBron, if he don't tighten up, he's going to not reach where he should have reached, and somebody's going to come and take it.
I think that's already
didn't
happen.
You think so?
I think that's already didn't happen.
He's 2-3 in championships.
The man has not lived up to what he...
Oh, no.
I'm going to say he's not lived up to what he could have.
No, he lived up to it.
No, he didn't.
In this era, though, he lived up to it.
LeBron should have 5 rings right
now. No.
LeBron should have 5 rings right now.
Okay.
I say four.
He
ain't
standing
10.
He should have 3. No.
When he was in Cleveland.
Can I tell you something? Because of his supporting cast? He ain't had no chance against the Spurs this year.
Yeah, that's the same thing. He might have been playing with Cleveland.
This year?
Yeah, he might have been. That's what it looked like.
It's only because they didn't play up to their full potential.
They gave up.
They didn't want it.
If they played to their full potential,
they got satisfied. They thought it was expected. They felt just
let
like
me tell you, I got so much respect for Tim Duncan, it ain't funny. Tim Duncan told him, I'm going to hit you in the mouth.
And he did it.
And he came right out. When he said, oh, we're going to get it done this time, I immediately said, he's disrespectful.
No, he's not.
He disrespectful.
That man meant that.
But that's what I'm saying.
He meant that.
That's
you
why I got
respect
for him.
For the who?
Because at the end of the day, who's
he
disrespectful to? That's like saying somebody, hey, boy, you tell somebody, I'm going to hit you right in your mouth. And get what you do. You hit him right in the mouth.
How is that disrespectful?
Because you shouldn't say that.
But then, yeah, I guess so.
You shouldn't say that.
Then I guess so.
That's disrespectful.
You got to
do that.
But they knew that was going to
wait. Well, speaking from a fan standpoint.
But he had to say that, though, because that's what they had to do. They had to come out and get him in
their
mouth. And they did it. And it took the entire – it snatched the fight out of them.
Yeah, it did.
It snatched the fight out of
them. I'm going to tell you when
they
did.
They
snatched the fight out of them. I'm going to tell you when they snatched the fight out of them. I'm going to be real with you. That second game in
Miami.
The
one in Miami war?
No. The second game in Miami. Because that first game, the first game.
Miami thought it was going to come back.
Yeah, the first game, the first one, they turned off the goddamn AC. They won.
Yeah, you said
it. They turned off the AC. Second game, Miami won. It said by two, but really by five. That next game, Spurs came out. They beat them by 15 or so in Miami. That fourth game, when the Spurs came out and they hit him in the mouth and they blew him out again, I said, oh, this series over. Because ain't no way in this world you going to win in San Antonio.
I knew the series was over after that, too.
That could be the case. Because they came out and hit him in the mouth again. In Miami.
In Miami.
The first game in Miami, they blew him out.
I think they surprised in Miami. Because if you look back on it, they came back in game four and really gave all they had.
Once they didn't want enough, they
gave up.
You said something a couple weeks ago.
I think that was game three they came back. Then when they cut it to seven.
Yeah,
that was game three when they cut it to seven. They were down by 21, 22 when they cut it to seven and they couldn't get no close.
When you said San Antonio showed Miami the talent ain't everything.
Yeah.
That was the overall message of the playoffs.
Your team.
Miami was way more talented than San Antonio.
I ain't gonna say that. You look at that roster. If you look at the starting five and them couple bench players, dog,
expect to see Leonard do that? Did you expect to see that other boy do that? No, you didn't.
But that's where you see.
You expect it. Yeah, I can't think.
That backup point guard.
Oh, Patty Mills.
Yeah.
The one with the old girl.
Yeah. Patty Mills.
Patty. That's why I kept saying the girl name. Yeah.
And Danny Green did what he did. He did it last year. Danny Green was on fire last year.
It was towards the end.
He was on fire every game for the Spurs last year. People forget about that. Because during the regular season, he didn't play that much.
That's why. Yeah, he loses on that.
That's exactly why. And he came back and duplicated the same thing he did last year. He did it this year. But he added a drive.
What position he played?
Do you realize?
You understand the problem?
Yeah.
Miami couldn't match up.
Do you realize, though?
That's why I tell you look at the roster.
Do you realize?
Miami didn't have better talent. I pointed this out on NNO one time. I said, who had more to gain and more to lose? And who wants to have bigger names, right? Remember that? When I said, do the Spurs got more to gain, or do the Heat got more, LeBron has more to lose by winning the championship. Do you realize we're not even talking about the fact they lost? We're not even discussing the fact that LeBron lost another championship. What we're discussing is the Spurs winning and outplaying the Heat.
Yeah.
One thing may have been accomplished in this year for LeBron. We realize everything in his fault.
No.
So
the reason
we
why
we realized that in Cleveland.
The reason why bigger for the Heat is the fact that it disappointed so many people that might have lost. And the way that they did it.
That's because we all expected them to win.
Exactly.
We all expected them to win and then they just lost.
That's
hands
why
down.
They just got
beat the dog. They beat the dog. Yeah. They took him out of woodshed.
What is it?
They came out. Everybody.
You say that's why it's bigger?
Yes.
Yeah,
I agree.
Absolutely. So
would
it benefit
me? I think so. That's yet to be seen. At this point, I can't say.
It could motivate.
I think it needed to lose.
It could definitely
motivate. Obviously, they needed to because
back to
motivate.
I hate that word.
Back to motivate.
I hate that word. And I understand
what about
it.
Momentum? You hate that word? Momentum?
Same premise, right?
No. It's not. Not to me.
It's different.
Not to me. It's not the same.
Momentum is when you get the upper edge. And when you let that carry you through.
Yeah. Momentum is what carried
the Giants. No,
yeah.
The Seahawks.
The Giants.
And the Giants for 2 years. That's what carried the Giants.
It carried
momentum.
The Ravens.
They got hot at the right time.
Yeah.
And that momentum carried them through.
See, the NFL to me is different, though, because the NFL.
Momentum didn't carry San Antonio.
It was
desire.
More evenly. That was straight desire.
Spread on the talent.
He might have motivated them, too. Yeah, be nasty.
The loss last year is what motivated.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We've seen that happen with Dallas when they came back and beat the Heat that first time.
Spurs felt like they was a better team last year.
They did motivate. They did work.
They felt like they were better.
They're
not
a better team. They gave the championship away in game six. Boss came down with that rebound. No.
Boss
was
not
going to
miss
the open layup.
He missed the button.
There you go. And he missed that button. Box came down with a rebound.
And I think that.
So why Bosh didn't play five?
No, man.
Bosh, he ain't got it, though.
It's not a five.
Bosh, like you at 6'7".
I still think I can play five. Now, if I believe that, you can't tell me I can't do it.
That's why Bosh can't do it. He don't believe it.
Now, that might be an issue.
You don't believe
that might be an issue.
Look at your phone.
That might be an issue.
You already know. You're about
6'7".
Both of them the same, man.
You're about 6'7", but Birdman got his 30th.
Yeah,
yeah,
he got more weight.
He
ain't
got the skill.
Well, it wouldn't make no sense to put Birdman. It wouldn't make no sense.
Yeah.
All right. It's a wrap.
Deuces.
Out of here.